good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you might be listening in and joining us in church. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. May this time with God be an encouragement to you, mindful that we share it with brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever we might be meeting, wherever we might be listening in. What do you appreciate about your local church as its people? What do you value about belonging to it? Do you feel like you have a part to play in its purpose and mission? Absence from meeting face to face during lockdown, I hope, has made your heart grow fonder, not less. These are some of the questions raised and answered in our Bible teaching time over October and November from the New Testament book of Philippians. One in mind, love, spirit and purpose is the theme. I pray they will be helpful as we wait and prepare patiently for returning to meeting together once more face to face. Our mission focus for the month of October is on the ministry of the Bush Church Aid Society, those who bring the good news of Jesus to people in remote places in Australia. In particular, we'll hear and pray for the work of Daniel and Rebecca Farrisee in Kununurra, Northwest Australia. And the only care agency of care we're remembering and praying for this month is prison chaplaincy. Today, helping me in the service are Karen and Diane. Now, Karen will read the Bible readings for us and Diane will lead us in prayer. Our kids are back together meeting via Zoom in Kids Church. We trust they have a fun time learning of God and we're mindful of their leaders too. Thank you. To prepare ourselves, let us hear from the Word of God, from Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. For all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Well, let me pray. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, what an encouraging way to start our time off worshipping together than to hear and sing along with a familiar hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Summer
great is God's faithfulness. Well, let's stand and praise our God together, wherever we might be, and say together, gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our God doesn't hide. He wants to be made known and makes himself known and his way for us through his word, the Bible. His Holy Spirit guides us into the truth of this as we hear it read. So let's pray accordingly before Karen comes to read it to us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first Bible reading today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 through to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The second reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through to 10. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, please open your Bibles to the letter of Paul to the Church of Philippi, chapter 1, to the reading that Karen just read to us. It's 62 AD. The Apostle Paul is in Rome under house arrest. As a Roman citizen, he has appealed to Caesar to hear an accusation against him by Jews in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel. At this stage, it's not that bad for him, really. He is free to move about and minister, but has a guard present with him 24/7. From what we glean from the book of Acts, the last two verses of the book read, "For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. But be that as it was, 2 years in forced lockdown is a long time. We can somewhat imagine how depressing that must have been for him for 2 years. But the good news is that as he waited, he received an unexpected visitor from the church in Philippi, Epaphroditus. What an encouragement that must have been for him to receive a visit. And it was. And from what we read in these opening verses, it certainly was. And it wasn't the first of visits to the apostle from the church in Philippi. And the church had become very dear to Paul. And Paul had not forgotten them. 11 years earlier, on the apostle's second missionary journey, he travelled with Silas, Luke and Timothy to Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony, popular for retired Roman soldiers and their families. There he had the opportunity to share the gospel. Masses believed. No, a few people believed the message and became Christians, and a small church began. You may recall the conversion of Lydia and that of the Philippian jailer and his family. You can read the story in Acts chapter 16. Paul and his companions didn't stay long in Philippi, but he did visit a couple more times. But over those 11 years, from the first time he visited and shared the gospel with them to this time now that he's in Rome and Epaphroditus was there before him, the Philippian Christians, though a small church, grew, not very big, but continued to support Paul and his companions regularly and generously, giving towards their needs. We read of their support compared to other churches in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, and in chapter 4 of this letter. When the church found out that Paul was in prison in Rome, they were concerned, and they sent one of their members, Epaphroditus, with a message of encouragement, news of the church, and a further financial gift to support him and his ministry in prison. Imagine how encouraging that would have been for Paul. I tell you, it would have been a sign to Paul of their maturity in Christ, of their understanding of the need above all needs for people to hear the gospel and Christians to be encouraged. And not only that, that they loved Paul and appreciated him as a fellow brother in Christ. This letter is Paul's response, a letter of appreciation for their partnership in the gospel with him. For he saw, and the word he deliberately uses there in the Greek, koinonia, indicates such that even though they were not present with him, wherever he went or involved in his ministry planning, sharing the gospel with him, undergoing the same persecutions as he was, by their continual concern, efforts to encourage, prayers and financial giving, they were very much there involved with him, no more or less than he was. This letter is Paul's response, a letter of encouragement to a little church that had become very dear to Paul. But not only a letter of encouragement, but a letter also of guidance for Christian living in the face of hardship of their own. What they did gave Paul the certainty of God's good work in them, verse 6, of their salvation. But not only that, but that this good work of God in them, this supporting of Paul and his companions in the partnership of the gospel, was also them behaving in a grown-up, mature, godly way as Christians in their understanding of what was important to God. There is wisdom and value for living life God's way in this letter of Paul to the church in Philippi. wisdom and value for life for both you and me, the Christian, and those curious as to what it means to live life God's way. For everyone longs to feel they belong. Everyone needs to know they belong amongst people where they are one in mind, love, spirit, and purpose. May those who are looking for it find it and apply it. We who are Christians, what do you appreciate about your local church and its people? What do you value about belonging to it? Do you feel like you have a part to play in its purpose and mission? I hope absence from meeting face to face during lockdown has made your heart grow fonder for fellowship and not less. You who are curious about the church, we who are Christians miss meeting together, as you most likely miss meeting with your friends and family as we do too. Like coals out of the fire, we long to be thrown back in and together. But let's go to these verses before us. Verses 1 and 2. Having greeted them and reminded them of their standing before God, Paul immediately writes of his appreciation. He thinks nothing of it. It's not a second thought. Verses 3 to 6. And then the reason for his appreciation, verses 7 to 11. From what we read, Paul felt very much in harmony with his brothers and sisters in Christ at Philippi. As a minister, I know how encouraging it is to be in harmony with the members of your church, to be one in mind, love, spirit, and purpose. And the apostle showed his appreciation by telling them so, verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Thank you to you, my church, for thinking of me, praying for me, continuing to support me. I thank my God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you these days. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We haven't seen each other for a while, have we? But imagine the encouragement a letter, a phone call, a text message, a visit is to a missionary or a chaplain we hardly see. How that would be for them. That's why we here at Abbotsford Anglican St Andrews deliberately focus on those we support each month. We pray, my prayer is that they may too know we are in partnership with them in the gospel, though not present with them, but very much so in mind, love, spirit, and purpose. And that knowing so, that they be filled with the same joy as Paul was, thankful to God in their prayers, as Paul is in his. See there, verse 7 and 8. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now in verses 9 to 11, Paul hasn't had a change of thought. This partnership in the gospel is still to the fore of his mind, what he's thinking about. He obviously sees their partnership as a good work of God in them, verse 6. But not only that, but an act of love as well, verse 9, that he wanted them to continue with God's help, with God's grace. You can hear that in how he prayed for them accordingly. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I take it, verses 9 to 11, Paul wanted the church to believe that what they were doing in partnership with him in the gospel was the right thing for them to be doing. He prays that they might know the best way to continue to do so, and that they should feel no guilt if ever they thought they had not done enough, or that their motives were perceived as not pure. Their partnership was a work of God in them, an act of love, worthy of thanks and joy to the glory of God. May you know the best way to continue to do so. May you feel no guilt if ever you think you have not done enough, or that your motives be perceived as not pure. Your partnership in the gospel is a work of God in you, an act of love, worthy of thanks and joy to the glory of God. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now.
To turn to Christ the Lord.
Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. So let us take this time now to draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Before Diane comes to lead us in prayer, let's travel to Kununurra, northwest Australia.
Where the sun is always shining and the washing is always dry. Kununurra is a quick 8-hour drive southwest of Darwin, just 40 kilometres over the Western Australia border. Kununurra was born with the Ord River Scheme in the early 1960s. Here's the man-made lake, Lake Argyle, 19 times the size of Sydney Harbour, a great feat of engineering. Kununurra is a beautiful part of God's world. We've got red rock, blue skies and green grass. We've got fields of cotton, melons, mangoes and bananas. We've got barramundi fishing and amazing places to explore four-wheel driving. And to top it off, we have a Coles. It's no wonder the tourists flock to Kununurra. Kununurra is certainly a beautiful place to live. But you don't have to live here long before the ugly side of our town emerges. Unfortunately, Kununurra is rife with alcoholism, domestic violence, and crime. In addition, our region has the highest youth suicide rates in the whole of Australia. Our town has some significant problems. There seem to be no real solutions. But of course we know that Jesus is the answer. That's why we are in Kununurra, in partnership with the Bush Church Aid Society, working for the Anglican Diocese of Northwest Australia. We get to share the love and hope that Jesus offers. As the minister in charge at St. James Anglican Church, Daniel preaches a message of hope through Jesus. Will you pray with us that many people in Kununurra and beyond would respond in faith to the gospel? Thank you for partnering with us in this important ministry.
Good morning and hello to everyone. Let's pray and we'll begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All praise to you, God, our Heavenly Father. We praise you and thank you for all your provision to us. We thank you for your creation and all your faithfulness to your people. We thank you for your word and how you reveal yourself to us. We are grateful for your Holy Spirit in us to lead and guide us. As we begin our new study through Philippians, help us learn from Paul's example so that we can trust you to see us through all trials and remind us to live up to our role in sharing the gospel. We pray that we will in no way be shamed, but will have sufficient courage so that Christ will be exalted. Loving Father, we pray for the world we live in. We ask for your Spirit to be moving in the hearts of leaders everywhere, to lead them to wisdom and compassion in their positions of power. We ask that they will focus on serving their people well and fairly, protecting the weak and the vulnerable. We ask that they will seek peace with other nations and build positive relationships and robust and mutually beneficial discussions in all issues. Almighty God, we pray for the new New South Wales State Government leadership team, Dominic Perrottet, Paul Toole and Stuart Ayres, as they settle into their new roles. We pray that they will seek your guidance in their decisions. We thank you at this time for the courage of Christians in leadership in our state and nation to speak openly of their faith in you. And we pray that they will truly reflect your love in their work and that you will be exalted through them. Please, God, empower them as they lead our state and our nation into living with COVID and that they manage this period wisely and well. We ask that this time will bring a new unity to our nation and all people and encourage many to come back to seeking their meaning in you. We thank you, dear God, for safely bringing so many Australians through the COVID-19 pandemic, and we ask for your comfort for all those who have sadly lost loved ones. We ask that as we will be released from lockdown this week, we stay mindful of our need to continue to monitor our actions and to maintain all the protocols required to reduce the risk of the virus spreading as we start moving around more freely. Help us to seek comfort and reassurance in you and your promises to us in all circumstances. Remind us to be thankful to you when we start to reconnect with family, friends and loved ones, and remember to never take for granted the people you have brought into our lives and rejoice in who they are and the joy of knowing them. We pray for prison chaplains who share the gospel to those facing even longer lockdowns of a different sort. We ask that they will speak truthfully and honestly and that your love will shine through and draw these people to want to know you personally. We pray for your wisdom in all interactions and that the chaplains will rely on you for leading them to those you want them to speak to and that you will ready their hearts to receive you into their lives. We ask you, Father, to support and encourage the Pharisees working with BCA in Kununurra. We pray for many of the locals there who are battling alcoholism and pray that the workers in their church are able to reach out and connect positively with them in their need. We thank you that their church's August Share the Gospel Month brought the gospel to some non-Christians, and we pray that they are able to follow up well and that these new Christians will come to know life to the full in Jesus. Protect Daniel and the family as they travel to Perth for the Northwest Diocesan Family Conference and Synod. We are thankful that they can go and ask for safe travel, good fellowship and a time of refreshment. We pray also that the lay preachers and service leaders who will see to ministry during this time are able to prepare well and teach your word correctly and feed the flock well. We are grateful for the new members attending their Tuesday night Grow Group, and we pray that as they meet and study your word together, that you, dear Lord, will grow them to become more like Christ. We thank you for our church congregation and our minister Trevor and his wife Rosemary and all the work that they do. We pray that as we are able to transition out of lockdown, we are able to remain healthy and safe and enjoy with gratitude the freedoms that we have been missing. We ask for continued healing, encouragement, patience, hope and trust in your provision for all from our church family who are ill, recovering or struggling in any way, especially Lynn, Jean, Kay, Max and Jennifer. Keep us all close to you, we pray, and speak clearly to us through your word and help us to apply to our own lives those lessons that have been revealed to us as you have desired us to learn. Let us pray that God will help us to love one another. Lord, our help and guide, make your love the foundation of our lives. May our love for you express itself in our eagerness to do good for others. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Diane. We welcome the news that churches will soon be able to return to meeting together, subject to strict COVID safe regulations. We'll not be rushing to go back, but we'll do so eventually when we believe we're fully prepared. Parish Council is meeting with me next Sunday, the 17th of October, to plan our way forward. So please be in prayer for us. If you have any concerns or questions about going back, please don't hesitate to give Diane or Karen or Stephen or myself a call, or anyone on Parish Council, and share what your thoughts are. Tomorrow night, join with me and others via Zoom for our parish prayer meeting. It starts at 7 p.m. and the link has been sent to you by Janice last Friday in your emails. And also tonight, or if it's Sunday that you're listening in to church, tonight on Sunday, come and join with us by Zoom from 5 through to 6 o'clock. Just drop in any time between 5 and 6 and say hi. Well, we come to the end of the meeting together. Thank you for joining us for church. Join us again next week as we continue through the little book of Philippians, one in mind, love, spirit and purpose. Before we leave, let's say what we believe. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life that's everlasting. Amen. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Until next week, the Lord be with you and also with you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.